Welt Talks. Der Podcast mit Visionären, mit Menschen, die neu denken und die unsere Zukunft gestalten.
Hallo, ich bin Martin Scholz und treffe für die Gesprächsseite der Welt am Sonntag viele außergewöhnliche und spannende Menschen. Mit meinem Kollegen Ruven Kleppner habe ich jetzt Zlatan Ibrahimovic interviewt, einen der größten Fußballstars unserer Zeit. Für die einen ist der schwedische Stürmer ein Großmaul und Selbstdarsteller. Andere sehen in ihm das größte Spektakel im Weltfußball, den komplettesten und extremsten Fußballer seiner Generation. Mit seinen spektakulären Fallrückziehern hat Ibrahimovic die Fußballwelt immer wieder in Ekstase versetzt. Er hat für alle Top-Clubs gespielt, den FC Barcelona, Manchester United oder Paris Saint-Germain. Zurzeit spielt er wieder für den AC Mailand. Am 31. März erscheint im Piper Verlag sein neues autobiografisches Buch. Adrenalin heißt es. Der Torjäger spricht darin erstmals sehr offen über Rückschläge, Ängste und Verluste. Wir haben mit dem 40-Jährigen über seine Panik vor dem Karriereende gesprochen, über seine Kämpfe auf dem Rasen und Kriege in der Wirklichkeit. Und auch über seine Bewunderung für Bruce Lee, Mike Tyson, Muhammad Ali und den Papst. Ja, der Papst hat ihn kürzlich zu einer Audienz empfangen. Papst trifft Fußballgott, jubeln die User im Netz. Ibrahimovic findet das ganz lustig.
We'd like to start with a question. In December 2021, you had an audience with Pope Francis in Rome. How did that come about and what did you talk about?
You mean in the game when we played against Rome?
No, the Pope, the meeting with the Pope, Francis.
It went good. It went good. I was very curious and I wanted to meet Pope and I wanted to see him in life and to be inside the Vaticano. How do you say in English? The Vatican.
Yes.
Was amazing. Was a great experience and we exchanged some words and nothing special, all positive and happiness and it was good. I was happy to see him. He looked fresh.
How did that come about? I mean, not many people get an invitation to meet the Pope.
But I'm Zlatan. When you're Zlatan, you get invitation from the whole world.
Okay. I mean, are you religious? Do you go to church sometimes?
No. I believe more in respect, and I respect every religion that there is. My father is Muslim, my mother is Catholic, and I don't really follow any religion. I just try to be happy and respect whoever I need to respect.
I read that you brought the Pope your book, Adrenaline, as a present, as a gift, and when you later posted the photo of the two of you meeting, I think you got 1.6 million likes and people wrote Pope meets God. And I know that Pope Francis is said to have a great sense of humor. And how did it feel? How did he feel about meeting the self-proclaimed God of soccer? Did you talk about this, have a joke or?
Nah, we were joking. We were speaking about the football and we were speaking about the book because I gifted him the first book that was ever published and that was published. And he spoke, he recently did a book also. So he gave me his book and I gave him my book. And we were speaking normally about football, I think it was. Small exchanges. I think he was very busy also. So it was not a long meeting.
Okay.
Na, schon die Steuererklärung gemacht? Wir vom Handelsblatt haben in einem Steuerspezial analysiert, worauf das Finanzamt bei der Steuer 2023 genauer guckt. In unserem PDF-Ratgeber finden Sie die wichtigsten 16 Neuerungen, Einstiegstipps für Elster und 4 Wege, wie Sie das Maximum herausholen. Sichern Sie sich also jetzt das digitale Handelsblatt 4 Wochen für nur 1 Euro unter handelsblatt.com/mehrwissen.
In your book, you write, everyone knows Ibra as a player, but not Ibra as a human being. Was it one of the main motivations for writing this book, to show the world out there I'm not who you think I am?
I think one of the reasons to write the book is to let the people get to know the real person. Because when you play the game, when you do all these pictures, images, and all these things, you don't see the real person behind the picture or when you see him on TV. So I decided to write the book and also to send a message to all the children out there to tell them that everything is possible. Impossible, it's not. Everything is possible. And I'm a living proof of that, where I came from, what I went through. I showed that you can still succeed, but not only in football, in everything you do. So with courage and confidence and believe in yourself, you can come far. And that is the reason why I wrote this book.
You said most of people see you as a football player, of course. What do you think is the biggest distorted image of you in the public perception? So,
I really don't know, because people that knows me, they have one image, but people that don't know me has obviously an image from TV, from the games, from interviews or whatever. So, but I was not born to get to know the whole world. I'm a public person now, and I want to give my version to the people, because like that, they understand more the person. They think different about the person. So, and I wanted to do this thing, to share my not my life, but share my identity with the people.
I think one main topic of your book is the balance between adrenaline and balance, to find that. And there's one chapter in there where you illustrate this very vividly, the match AS Roma against AC Milan, when you had been insulted by opposing fans as a gypsy, and you spread your arms, you smiled at them and said louder, and then the referee punished or warned you, and you then describe how you managed to control this moment. And I was just wondering, what does that do to you, to swallow the anger when everyone or the large majority of that stadium is against you, and find grace and dignity as you had in that moment?
If I was younger, maybe I would react much different, probably 100%. Now, when I have experience, I'm more mature, I control the situation much, much easier and much better. And then when these things happen, I try to be as professional as possible. I just try to keep doing my job. And the only way I can give back is to play my game, score goals, or to play good and win the game. That is my payback for whoever insults me and using discrimination as a tool. And I just try to give back or make them pay back in a football way, in a professional way. And I get adrenaline when this happens, because when people go against me, then that is the moment I rise, I become bigger, and it's like you put gas on fire and the fire gets more hot.
Does it never feel scary? I mean, when you have ten thousands of people just insulting you on the...
This was 50,000, but no, I'm not scared there. Because when I'm on the field, I'm very confident and I feel strong. And that is my moment to shine and to, let's say, kick ass, but in a football way.
I mean, this is very astonishing, this passage, how you write about this moment. And you said, we have all these protests, T-shirts, show respect, no against racism, the kneeing thing we did. And that's what you wrote, when other minorities are insulted, the referee
turned at you and you asked the question, what good is it if nothing changes in the stadium? I was just wondering, what kind of reactions did you get for this comment, and what should be changed to?
I think people agree with what I'm saying. And I mean, if we talk about races, we talk about different minorities, and if you insult somebody for his color, or you insult somebody for his race, I don't see any difference there. We talk about the same level of discrimination. But when you talk about one thing, you try to do something. But when you insult the other situation, it's like people, not like people don't care, but like people are used to it. It's less important than the other thing. And I'm not a political guy. For me, going down on the knees, put one hand in the air, no to races, respect, all this for me is blah, 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 just to look good. But I'm not doing things to look good. I do things to make a change, to make a difference. Either we do a real consequence or we do nothing. Because to go out with a shirt to say no races, for people to say, ah, look, they're trying to do something. But what are you trying to do? Are you really trying to make a difference, or you're trying to look good? It's a big difference, this. And we are doing all these things in TV, whatever we are trying to do to send a message, but it's not really a consequence. So I think you do it the hard way. You give a consequence for whenever it happens, and then people will learn from the consequence.
You've often said that you were inspired by this self-praise of Muhammad Ali's larger than life. He would have turned 80 this year. Did you learn from him to be such quick-witted? So punchy?
No, I admired Ali a lot. I mean, he was my idol. He was my example. And I liked the way he was. He was talking and he was performing, but he was not talking from a point of view where he wants to be perfect or look good. He was talking from his heart. And when you speak from the heart, real people, they recognize this. Because you have many athletes out there that try to look good and have the perfect image of themselves. But inside, nobody is perfect. And I say also in the book, when are you perfect? When you're yourself. Because you cannot do more than being yourself. So that's why for me, Ali is the perfect example and the greatest athlete through all time. But I'm not trying to copy him, because I think every individual is his own individual.
Ali was a humanist in everything he did, and he was a very political man.
But I'm not political. I'm out of political, because I said about somebody that if you try to do political, then you should do only political. I am an athlete. I'm a football player. And sport unite people. Politics, they divide people. So it's two different things.
I mean, reading your book and how you adjust to the fights on the soccer match, anticipating the opponent's movement, and it seems like you combine the best of Muhammad Ali and Bruce Lee, like to say, sting like a bee, float like a butterfly, and be water, my friend. Am I totally out of my mind here, or is this something that...
No, I think you forget one person. I am fast like Bruce Lee, I move like Ali, and I have power like Mike Tyson. This tree is Ibrahimovic.
Okay. When you describe the showdown with Materazzi in the 2010 Inter versus AC Milan match and the derby that you describe in the book, to me, it's like a soccer version of, I don't know if you know the film Way of the Dragon, when Bruce Lee fought Chuck Norris at the Colosseum in Rome. Is this something is this something you have in your mind sometimes, that you watch films like that?
No, I watched Bruce Lee when I was young. My father made me watch all the Bruce Lee movies, all the Jackie Chan movies. So I watch a lot of those movies. And when I come on the field, obviously I'm a winner. My mentality is to win. I will do anything to win, but in a professional way. And when I go on the field, I change my focus totally. So I go in under 90 minutes, I'm there to win. And if I have to go for the kill, I go for the kill. That's my instinct. That's who I am. So if somebody tried to stop me and I have to smash him, I will smash him.
In The Guardian, you recently said, quote, "The only thing that keeps me going is the adrenaline, because every morning I have pain everywhere."
That's true.
How do you manage to turn pain into this drive and power you got?
Because I have objectives. Because every morning I wake up, I have pain, but I know what is waiting. So the training, the games, that is what keeps me alive. I still have passion for what I do. And my adrenaline is when I can get something back for what I'm doing, I will go through the pain. I have no problem go through the pain, because I have suffered all my life to reach where I am. So to suffer for me, it's easy. I have no problem suffering. So all the pain that I suffer from, I'll go through it, because I know I'm doing something I love, and I want to do it as long as I can.
So it's true if one says no pain, no gain. It's the truth.
Indeed, more or less.
I think what's very moving about your book, it's in many passages a tribute to your wife. You write, "She tamed your wild character and she gave you the most precious things in the world, your two sons." And you also write how difficult it was for you to live apart from your family in the times of pandemic, when they were in Sweden and you couldn't meet and see them because you were in Italy. Has the pandemic changed your view of the world and made you set different priorities?
I mean, I just want the world to go back to live a normal life as possible, because I think the world has gone through these 2 years. Still, there is some restrictions because of the pandemic that needs to open up and live a normal life. And unfortunately, when it happened, I was alone in Italy and my family was in Sweden. And it was difficult times, because it's a moment you want to stay with your close ones and the important ones. But I think you become stronger from something negative. So from something negative, there is always something positive. To go through that, you understood how things can change fast in life that you cannot control or you cannot influence in a way. And I think we become stronger from this. But now, I don't think I change as a person. The only thing is I am more careful in a hygienic way. Try to be more, to freshen up, to clean, keep cleaning and the hands or whatever you need to do, so you don't affect or give something to somebody else or you get it yourself. And for my wife, that she changed the character. I think she gave me calm. Because when I was younger, I was more wild. I was more rock and roll. And she has 10 years more than me. So already she's more in front in a mature way and in an experienced way. So she has a big patience. And I think that helped a lot.
There's a scene in your book that for me, it was for me very surprising. After the corona pandemic, you are sitting in a restaurant with your friends and you feel uncomfortable because of all the other people around. Had you been scared yourself? So it was a little bit surprising. Mr. Ibrahimovic is scared of other people. You know what I mean?
Because, like I said, for 2 years, we could not go out, eat in the restaurants and that. So what happens? You get used to be home. And in my case, I was lucky because I was allowed to go to work, to play football. From football, home football. So that's the only thing we did. And then suddenly they opened the restaurants after 2 years, I think. And then you sit there and you see a lot of people around you and everything feels different because you're used to be home and not a lot of people because of the pandemic. And now I sit there and I said, this feels very strange. And I got some kind of panic and I went home straight because I was not used to see so many people at the same time. So everything is, you adapt and you get used to it. So I was not used to see so many people after the pandemic. And of course, it was a positive sign that they open up the restaurants and that. But I felt uncomfortable because I said, there's too many people here. And I haven't seen so many people in one place for a long time.
Mm. Mm. I mean, there's still no real end in sight to the pandemic. It's getting better, but we're still not out of it. And at the same time, the world is facing another even more threatening state of emergency with the war in Ukraine, and nobody knows. Everybody's keep watching the news from day to day. I was just wondering, I got three kids, and your kids ask you, is there going to be a war? And as you as a father, do you have to answer questions like that? Do you think about that?
No, my children, they don't ask me, but I think they're aware of it. But I try to keep them less worried as possible because having kids think about these things, I think it's crazy. We are living in 2022 and we talk about something that should not even exist or should be, or even think about it. So I think all these things is crazy. I believe in happiness, peace, and love. That for me is my motto.
The young generation no longer must suffer much to have a good life, you once said. You described that you demand a lot from your sons in your book. What kind of father are you? Strict, understanding, or both?
I mean, as a parent, you always think and try to do the right thing because there is no wrong thing because your point of view is what you believe in. And the way I was raised, I tried to raise my kids, but with more opportunities, obviously, because my parents didn't have the opportunities to give me like I can give my children. But I tried to learn my kids and raise them in a way that one day they will be independent. And they will go on and live their own lives. So I am strict when I need to be strict. I'm disciplined with them when I need to be disciplined. And I try to teach them respect. Work hard, respect, and to have discipline. And I think with these things, you come for and you learn to how to become a man in them. Because in the end, you will live your own life. And hopefully me and my wife did our job to raise them in a way that they can move out from their home and be independent.
Do you have an example when you taught them respect? Is there something that comes to you?
Yeah. When we, depends on the situation, but when we are out in public, they need to treat people with respect. Mm. Like be thankful, be open to help, and not have, you give and you take. So you don't only take and you don't give, for example. So many different situations. Appreciate things. Be very thankful when you get things. Small details, but the small details makes the difference.
Well, at the moment, as I mentioned earlier, because of the war in Ukraine, all aspects of life are being evaluated, and the FIFA has ordered no more international matches to be played in Russia, and you got tensions among players from Ukraine and Russia, and you got the World Championship coming up in Qatar. How do you deal with it? Because among players and to show solidarity, is this in your, are you aware of this when you go to the to your club, or do you communicate with others?
I think I'm aware of it, but We are not in control of it, obviously. And I think news is spreading all over the world. So it's no secret what's happening. And everybody has their own opinion. What is right, what is wrong, still people will have their opinion. So I'm aware of it, but we don't talk a lot about it.
Have you known or met the Klitschko brothers before, when you had been active sportsmen and now?
No, I never met them.
I see.
Your parents had come to Sweden from the former Yugoslavia in 1970s. At the beginning of the 90s, there was a war in former Yugoslavia, the consequences of which still visible today and destabilized the Balkans. Do you've got some memories of that time?
No, my parents came before the war to Sweden. Mm. And I was born in Sweden, and what I remember from the war was that my father tried to help as much as possible to family members, and he was always on the phone, tried to communicate and to help to bring family to Sweden. Mm. That is more or less what I remembered.
So did he explain the situation to you, or you were just too young?
Nah, he tried to keep me away from it. Okay. Everything, like, and I was just a young guy. Like I said, I was very active and I was very rock and roll, and they tried to keep me distance from everything, and I think I was too young to understand what was going on.
I mean, you mentioned earlier your father is a Muslim, your mother is Catholic, and you have a Swedish and a Bosnian passport, and you
are Swedish passport, only Swedish passport.
Ah, okay. But you are nevertheless very attached to Bosnia as the...
Yeah, yeah. Through my parents, I'm attached. I know the language, and through my parents, I'm attached. But I've been in Bosnia, Croatia, or Serbia. I've been like 4 or 5 times. So I am not there every summer, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. But I was just wondering, is this... being raised as an interconfessional and multicultural upbringing, has it shaped you more than other things to know it's not just one-sided, because there are many parts that shape one person's life and the way your parents brought you up and your background?
I think we live in 2022. The world is full of mixed religion, mixed people, and it comes together, and you raise your kid in your own opinion and with your own philosophy. So just like it was before, one race, keep to one race. It doesn't look like this today. You have a big mix of everything. And that is what makes it beautiful, because that shows we are all different, but in the end, we are all the same.
There's another very impressive sentence in your book. You said, "I confess that the thought of quitting scares me. The closer the time comes to call it quits, the greater my fear of the future." Admitting fear so openly also requires a great sense of strength. Did you have second thought about writing this down in this form?
No, I was open. So whatever thing I wrote, I was open, and they keep no secrets, because I share my feelings and my view and my vision with everybody. And I made it no secret that the closer I come to retire, the more scared I get, the more panic I get, because what happens after the football, I don't know. I think for every football player, it's difficult to stop football, because you have been doing something for 20 years. So you follow an agenda every day. So you know more or less what's happening every day. But now you wake up and you don't know what is happening. That for me is scary, because you're used to get adrenaline from something you have been doing for 20 years. And now you will never, after football, you will never get the same adrenaline. This I know. And I think football players, they have to be prepared for this. But the closer I get, of course, the more fear I feel, the more panic I get, because what's on the other side, you don't know what's happening on the other side. Because when you start with something, you start from zero, and you will not get the same adrenaline that I get now on the field when you say Bruce Lee versus Chuck Norris. This I will not get. because that I only get in the football field.
But you already sort of started your career after football. I read that you played in the new Asterix movie.
Yes, it's coming. I think in the summer it's coming.
You're playing a character who is called Caius Antivirus. That should be
Antivirus, yes.
Was this a reference to your measures against Corona you supported, or how did that come about?
No, this was before the movie was, before the pandemic happened. So it was all written before. And then, it fit in with the virus, antivirus. So it was funny and strange timing, but this was all done before the Corona virus ever exploded.
And did you get beaten up by the friend, by Obelix and Asterix, or do you beat them?
No chance. No chance. I'm the bodyguard of Caesar.
Ah, okay. That's great.
So we all try to help Caesar in a way.
So is this becoming an actor serious concern of yours, or is it just for fun?
I mean, I'm curious about the world because I like it. When you're a football player, you get some sponsors, you do a little bit acting in front of a camera. And I've been doing it so many times that I said, why not try movie, but not to take it too serious. I mean, I'm not here to win an Oscar, but I'm curious how it is. I think it's fun. And I think when you're working, it looks a little bit strange, but the results looks amazing. So, but it's a thing that I'm very curious about.
You also once said, I mean, we did talk about politics in the Guardian. You said, I don't do politics. If I did, I would be president. Honestly, exactly. Would that be a serious thought of yours after soccer?
I mean, no, politics after soccer. I said to you, I don't belong in politics. I don't want to do politics. And I know people, athletes, when they get famous, they get money, they try to use these things, they get power, they try to use it in a political way. I don't want to do that. I want to spread happiness in what I'm doing, and I want to spread love in what I'm doing, and that is playing football, and that is the best way I can do it, because I'm the best in playing football, and I try to do it in that manner. So after my football, I don't know what will happen. I take one step at a time, because if I prepare for something else, it means I accept to stop football. And I didn't prepare for something else because I'm not accepting to stop football. So as long as I am active, my focus is football.
So no more politics. Some questions about football. You played in all the top European leagues. Did you ever seriously consider playing in the Bundesliga?
I mean, I was curious about the Bundesliga. You have a team like Bayern Munich that for me is an amazing club, because every time I played against Munich, you can see that the facility, the stadium, the organization, and the history of the club, it's pretty impressive.
Did you ever have an offer from Germany?
No, never. So whoever talked there from Germany that they gave me offer or talk, they only talk shit.
But is there a German footballer do you respect?
Yeah. I like German football. It's very organized. It's very, very high rhythm physically. And with the fans, it's amazing. So it's very attractive, the football.
Mm-hmm. And a special German footballer, a player, do you respect?
I think the German players, the strength of the German players is that they're collective players. They're not individual players. Mm-hmm. So that is the strength of the German player, but you have many of them.
That's another, for me, surprising thing. You've never been voted world footballer. Is it a thing you deal with, or is it, it's not so important for you because you know you are the best in the world?
I think when it comes to these things, we have to talk a little bit political, because who wins these things is the guy that they try to do Mr. Perfect. And the one that speaks for himself and says what he wants, he doesn't get this kind of credit because it's too much. So whoever votes becomes personal against that thing, because it's easy to give to somebody that is Mr. Nice Guy. But for me, to get that trophy, it will not change me as a football player. Yes, it's very nice to win this, but will I become a better football player? No. Will I become a worse football player? No. So that is what I mean. I didn't win Champions League, but I would love to win Champions League. But if I didn't win it, am I a worse football player? Absolutely not. So All these things, you want to win it. You do everything to win it. But when it comes to have a perfect image and try to build a perfect image to win something, I'm not interested because I'm being myself. Either you like me or you don't like me. I don't give a fuck.
You say you want to play until you're totally done.
Yes. I don't want to have regrets if I stop today and in 6 months I will say I could still continue. I don't want to have this regret.
But can Zlatan ever be totally finished?
I don't think so. That's why I'm still here.
So you're playing with 50 or 60 or...
Listen, I will give you a secret. I don't stop until I see somebody that is better than me. There you go.
That's a good thing.
Listen, guys, you need anything more? You have 30 minutes. 30 minutes is very expensive to talk with Ibrahimovic.
I know.
It's even getting dark. Soon we don't see each other.
Just 1 second. I turn on the light. So because you have the same problems as I have.
Yeah. It's getting dark and darker. How much minutes you need more?
We are about 3 more minutes, then we're done.
Okay, good. Good job.
I know you know Ante Rebic, who is your colleague, and I'm from Frankfurt, from Eintracht Frankfurt. He's the hero here because he won the cup with him.
But don't tell him that because he will get too much confidence.
I was just wondering, have you ever heard somebody posted some wishful thinking that Eintracht Frankfurt would be dealing to get Zlatan Ibrahimovic to play with Eintracht Frankfurt? It wasn't true, but it became such a fake news thing that all of Frankfurt said, wouldn't that be great if you would join Eintracht Frankfurt? And the officials of Eintracht Frankfurt had to officially say, we never talked with him, but nevertheless, the whole town.
No, I didn't hear about you. This. I'm sorry. I didn't hear, so I cannot comment, but it would be amazing if I can come to Frankfurt and show them the real God.
Okay. Thanks a lot for this open interview. It was great talking to you.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. And all the best to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Everything you need. Good luck and take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All the best. Bye-bye.
All the best. Thank you.
Das war Welt Talks. Neue Folgen hören Sie bei Welt und überall, wo es Podcasts gibt. Wir freuen uns über Feedback an audio@welt.de und Bewertungen auf den Podcast-Plattformen.